Okay. So the next article I want to talk about is actually The Tale of the Haunted IKEA Cabinet. Ooh. Okay. So. All right.
Child protecting seatbelt piece of shit.
Children, it's the thing of the seatbelt that actually makes it work.
Yeah, I know. I know children aren't the one that's locking my seatbelt, literally. It's, well, but it's like a...
for child safety.
It's not for my safety.
You know, it literally is for your safety.
I hate it. I want it
to
die. It's
because if it didn't lock out, then the seatbelt wouldn't be a safety thing. It'd just be an even more of a nuisance.
Yeah.
It'd be fast.
This is Kendrick Evans, and I'm abolishing seatbelt use in cars.
This is Kyle Hagen, and I don't understand how simple things work.
Well, at least I'm not a weird guy who's protesting against seatbelts.
That's probably good. Because that would be a really weird,
but in reality,
decision to take. Sit suck, everybody.
Hello.
Finally have gotten to where I'm editing the ones we recorded with the stand.
Uh-huh.
And there's a marked improvement, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the lack of background noise.
What is your metric?
There's less background noise. Oh, like, that's oddly clearer.
Because it's not, like, touching the car that's running?
Yeah, and I think it's because it's... We can turn it down. The gain down.
Oh, okay.
So you end up with mostly just voice. And a lot less car.
Dude, so I was looking through news stories this morning. And
what?
Eventing is gonna happen at some point today.
Wait a minute. We forgot a piece because we were busy.
Oh, shit.
Highball.
Getting into Kendrick's car is like going to a really fancy hotel where you get like little little chocolates on the pillow.
I gotta start getting chocolates for Amy.
Because it's every time you get in, there's like something waiting for you that you really wanted. And so, highball. The long open.
Yeah.
Give
good.
Us money.
Tickets. I like it.
So.
We're fueled by highball.
Found a bunch of cool stories to talk about today.
Okay.
In news, so...
I don't want to talk about any of them. Let's talk about Taco Bell.
I'm fine with that. I was going to have... Did you want to, so...
No, go.
Talk about, like, reflections on the magic thing yesterday?
Well, we could. I mean, it's up to you. Let's see what your eventing brings us.
Okay, I got three that are interesting to me. The first one is that... I don't know how to work my phone.
That's not really news.
11-year-old kicked out of Boy Scouts over gun control questioned at state senator. So, this 11-year-old kid, and I'll kind of walk through the story because I did read this one, and then I read the next one, was asked to come... There was a state senator coming to their Boy Scout troop, and he was asked to figure out and research a question that he wanted to ask the state senator. And the... off. What the hell is happening? All right, fine. He's supposed to ask a question to the state senator. And now, sometimes there's like, whether or not you feel how you feel about gun control, this kid's question was very like articulate, I think. He said to State Senator Vicky Marble, a Republican from Fort Collins, an issue I'm concerned about is common sense gun control. I was shocked that you co-sponsored a bill that allowed domestic violence offenders to continue to own a gun. Why on earth would you want someone who beats their wife to access a gun? This is what the kid said. Okay. I was like, oh, wow. Well, that's like fairly well-spoken. I mean, like, it's something that's more articulate than what I would say. I'd be like, why beat gun control wives? And you're like, wait, what?
I want to control wives and beat guns.
What,
hang on.
What did you say? He's 11.
11, okay.
And... because the question was revolving around gun control, and it was a question that the scout leader deemed as disrespectful, he got kicked out of his Boy Scout troop.
Oh.
And another senator, I can remember her name, Gabby Gifford, yep, is like now kind of like supporting the kid and like, hey, you can ask those questions. Don't be afraid. Even though it leads to irreparable things that happen in your life. Continue to ask very, very intense questions.
Trash your life in the name of speech.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of feel like there's a dick move on the scout leader's part, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, I feel like that's not a good way to handle that.
Even if you didn't, and they were like, you shouldn't ask gun control questions because it's too politically charged.
But you're talking to a politician.
Yeah, and the kid said in response to that, his scout leader was like, you know, you shouldn't ask this question because of the political charge. He said, I'm really concerned about it because it's top of mind right now because of Vegas. And, like, I want to, this is something that we should, like, be able to talk about, right?
I always wonder if there's more to it than this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with of course there things, is, like, but...
Turns out that kid was a shit and just keeps constantly badgering people and he keeps starting political arguments everywhere. And they're like, you're 11, why are you talking about abortion right now?
And it's like... You know, you're really close to have been aborted and you're still in that area where, you know, it might be acceptable.
36 months.
But, like, part of me, I don't know why, I think it's my like, weird white privilege or whatever, but part of me always does the, like, did that really happen?
Well, that's, I mean,
or like the, did he actually write that?
I guess what I would go for in this kind of a context is usually my general belief that any news article is lying to you.
Okay.
Until proven otherwise.
How do you, how is other proof, how do, how, what? How
that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
Just 21st century news cycle.
Fair enough.
People write stuff down. They no longer fact check. They no longer, like, rigorously check things at all. They no longer...
Journalism's dead.
Yeah, no, journalism has been dying for years, and now it's
journalism's
just
a zombie.
Putrefied zombie.
You have to make it putrefied. That's gross.
Yeah, it's putrefied.
Putrefied?
Yeah.
All right, so that was one I thought was interesting. Now, I mean...
Again, I don't agree with the kid. I think if it was the bill, I remember it was one of those, like, six or seven things in one, and that was one of the things.
It's like, do you want support for homeless people, like, to, like, feed them, and do you want to make it so people who beat their wives can't have guns, and do you also want to, you know, support something that if you don't support, you're morally wrong?
Yeah.
Objectively. Yeah. And it's like, I've done sugar but not PCP, so which answer do I pick?
And then it was like, there's also an interesting issue because in some states, and Colorado might be one of them, being arrested for domestic violence constitutes disallowing of owning a firearm. And couple, which sounds like, okay, they're arrested. That's like, except that you were never found guilty. You were just arrested for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of an issue because you've never been proven guilty. And then couple that with the fact that there's a policy of certain police departments, and I don't know if that's true in Colorado, but I think there are some, where if there is any domestic violence call, they will arrest someone. So when you combine all those pieces, you're like, okay, hang on a minute, we have a problem here. Because then if someone calls on something and they come out and decide what it is domestic violence, regardless of what's going on, but that's what they determine at the time because of whatever they have, they take someone in. They may have just permanently removed that person's ability to own firearms, even if it turned out to not be a domestic violence. If it just, some argument got out of hand and there wasn't really violence in hand, but it looked like it or it
they
seemed like it, they decided,
like, you know,
they have to take someone in. And now, you mean, that's a problem. If it's that perfect storm of regulations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can fix
that
in a number of ways.
Which is a minefield, though, I mean.
Yeah, it is.
It's
and so
a thing that's real.
And that's where you run into issues, because if... Domestic violence is one of the really fucking tricky ones because it seems so cut and dried, right? Mm-hmm. Well, don't beat your wife. But there's a lot of levels of abuse, and a lot of them, I mean, there's like a line you cross where you're into abuse, and that line is not super duper well defined. And people's relationships are already kind of fucked up anyway. So you get the situation where cops don't know what's two people yelling at each other and what's two people abusing each other and what's one person abusing another person and that person reacting to them.
Yeah.
A lot of the police departments have said, fuck it, we're just taking someone in. Like, we're done. We're going to stop
this. We're
going
to separate them.
We're separating you and we're doing that. But technically you get arrested on a charge of domestic violence. Mm. And it's usually the dude. So, who is usually the firearm owner. So you end up with the problem. You're like, okay.
I believe you're referring to statistically the firearm owner and statistically the dude. Assuming.
Yeah, I'm making assumptions. I'm making an ass out of you and umption, so.
I don't like the assumption guy.
I gotta.
Amy, how do you feel about 11-year-old Ames getting kicked out of Boy Scouts for saying stuff about gun control?
Based on the fact that he was talking to a politician, I don't know. I think it's a little harsh.
Yeah.
I think getting.
Even if
you
didn't know all about the bill, like you suggested, like it's worded funny.
It's an 11-year-old.
Well, no.
Like, yeah. The politician should still explain it to him. He could be like, hey, here, look, kid.
Now, I want to make sure. I'm not saying that I should shut the kid down.
They didn't talk about what the politician said. They just said that he got kicked out. So that's an interesting point,
I'd like to know what the politician said, how he defended it. Now, again, I think the kid is fine asking that question. I don't think it's too disrespectful, depending on how it's worded. I mean, it might have come off a little aggressive, but
yeah.
I feel like you could deal with that. Like, maybe don't do that, as opposed to just getting kicked the fuck out.
Yeah, and again, that kind of leads to, like, that whole, like...
That's fine.
That whole thing where you're like, was this kid an asshole, or was he just a...
I'm surprised, like, if it's a one-strike policy, then that seems really harsh, yeah.
Okay. So, the next article I want to talk about is actually The Tale of the Haunted IKEA Cabinet. Ooh. Okay. So, the IKEA dresser reportedly kills eighth child despite recall and repair offer.
So, wait, is it haunted or is it just dangerous?
It's just dangerous, but okay. It's funny that, like, it's funny to me, and I probably shouldn't say that live, that
the children are dying?
The children, yeah. It's funny.
So, hang on a minute. Children are dying from a cabinet?
Don't worry.
Explain.
I will. So, and this is something that's kind of amazing to me, because they recalled the Malm dresser. It's a low-cost piece of furniture, which is just describing IKEA.
Yeah, it's like,
that's from IKEA. In cities of the deaths of three small children due to its tipping over, and they paid out $50 million to the families of the children, right? However, the dresser continues to be sold, and people are like, this is hazardous. Why are you selling this? Over the world for the last 13 years, that and on Thursday, ABC reported that an eighth child, two-year-old California Joe's Duke, was crushed by the Malm during nap time.
How did it
2014
fall over?
Was the first death. It started by offering customers repair kits for the dresser against the walls to prevent tipping over. The Swedish firm is still offering these kits. I mean, it's just a piece of furniture. I guess it's tipped over. I mean, let me look at the furniture real quick.
I'm curious. Is like the kid was crushing nap time, so the thing just spontaneously jumps off the wall. And
that's why
you.
I said it's the haunted cabinet.
That's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, you don't buy haunted cabinets.
Don't buy haunted fucking cabinets.
The affected range includes dressers with between 3 and 6 drawers, costing from eighty to twenty. So maybe it's something like that. About the model. Okay, cool. So let's look at what a Malm looks like. I put this in the comments. Can
I bet that? Yeah. Did you spell that?
Malm.
Oh, well, that was easy. None of that weird, goofy...
How the fuck does that fall on people?
They've been selling it for 13 years, and kids started dying 2 years ago? 3 years ago? What happened in the first 10 years that no one had this issue?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like it was perfectly safe for a decade, and then now a bunch of people are dying? That sounds weird.
Yeah, I don't actually see anything with this dresser. I guess I'll show it to both of us. Like,
it's a fucking dresser. Like, that looks like a stout piece of, I guess maybe you top load it.
Yeah, if you put a bunch of stuff in the top thing and like leave it open and the kid's underneath it and it falls over.
Is there a lip on the bottom of the drawer? Can you open it from the bottom? A lot of those.
Maybe, yeah.
So if the kid can reach up and pull it out onto himself.
Okay.
And then it falls over because it's overbalanced.
Natural selection,
man. Dude. I don't know. I have sympathy for people whose kids have died, but it's kind of like you got to put some thought into where you're leaving your kids. Unless it just spontaneously, like, erupts, just falls over. Hup, boom. That's horrible. That would be a terrible, terrible thing. I feel like we'd have heard about that more. The self-exploding IKEA furniture.
Haunted, please?
I mean, okay. Haunted. By the souls of the Aboriginal people that they mowed down to fit the pulp that they use to make their wood-like products.
Isn't saying Aborigine, like, really racist?
No. I think Aboriginal just means, the like, indigenous, doesn't it?
Dude, you're the one that's racist.
I am. I am racist.
No, please hold the wheel. Oh, God.
Folks. I just proudly crossed my arms.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I don't know. These are always hard to talk about because $50 million seems like a lot of money to 3 to 8 families, right?
Yeah.
That means that each family is getting out, like,
well, it's not, I mean,
$1 million.
Terrible as it is, that kid dying was the best thing that happened to them financially.
I mean, you can't equate anything to child's lives. But
you just did, though. It's like $6 million or whatever. So
I will right now.
You literally just did that.
I'll do it. Did that. Because you can make a child quicker than you can make $1 million.
That's true. For substantially less money.
Does this mean that you... I hope that everyone listening to this podcast knows that we're joking.
I don't care. care anymore.
And that you should not continue to have children and accidentally kill them off with IKEA furniture to get millions of dollars. Because that's technically morally wrong.
Technically.
We had a really crazy discussion about morals versus ethics on the way to Telluride.
Yeah.
And I was, like, in a weird spot because I am very, like, humanism. I have, like, a lot of humanism in nature. Like, I'm my own moral authority because there's, moral, yeah. like...
Moral relativism.
Sure.
It gets a bad rap, but it's a thing.
But, it means that you can't possibly be good, like, in a lot of people's eyes.
Kinda.
Because, like, if you're deciding what your own morals are and you're deciding what your ethics are, you're just a soulless piece of shit who can do whatever they want and justify it.
I mean, yeah.
But, like, I mean...
But you're also doing good by your own metric at any given time, right? So...
But then that just gets attributed to God existing and, you know, for...
No, I mean, and stuff. You've decided for your own purposes what good is, and then you are performing what you believe to be good at any given time. Now, I think the tricky part about the humanist moral relativist attitude is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you believe everything you've done to be good. That's sort of
I don't
a short
think
circuit.
That, I think that that's an incorrect way of thinking about it.
That's what I mean.
It.
Not everything I've done is good.
And I would actively say some things I've done are not good.
Yeah, by your own ethics. You believe that some of the things you've done are were,
okay.
Were
so
bad.
This is the interesting part. So like morals. Okay, can you describe to me what you think the difference between ethics and morals are?
Ethics, I always consider to be a.
See, this is the interesting part, though. The fact that you said that beforehand makes it really hard to talk about this stuff because you said what I consider it to be.
Well, because ethics is a technical term in a philosophical context, right? Ethics is the system of rules and metrics by which morality is measured. So ethics is usually in a philosophical context, ethics is a particular writer or someone's system for determining what is moral. And then morality is sort of the what the ethics describes.
Can you give me some examples to help me understand?
So like the ethics of
Plato.
Deontological okay. ethics.
Deontological.
There's teleological and deontological, and I can never fucking remember which one's which, because I'm not writing about them. They all blur together. One of them is that the ends justify the means, basically. And the other one is that you're responsible
for the ethical system is that no matter what you do, the end...
Well, it's
that,
basically,
end.
Here's the question. If I ram in this car into that car right now, killing everybody, that's wrong, right?
Unless there was a terrorist
but
in that car.
But it turns out that if I turns out, I didn't know it, but it turns out there was a terrorist on there, that's good. So but I didn't know that, yeah. So should I be judged for my action, which I had no way of knowing was going to be good because of the outcome, or should I be judged by my intentions, which were to
so
kill
where
us all?
Do morals play into that situation?
I think that the word moral isn't used as much as ethics in philosophical conversations okay. because it's more ambiguous, but I think that whenever I use it, it's my morals.
Well, generally, like
within an ethical
what
system.
I was hearing from Dalton and Aaron was that there's a moral authority that's generally a thing. So, like, your morals are determined by, like, some authority, and the ethics, like, are kind of, like, how you play in that moral system, like, and how you interact with it. And like,
I guess I could see that. So the moral authority is sort of the...
It's
the
like God
squishy,
or the
God.
Government or somebody like that who determines, like, if you murder someone, you're considered bad by the greater community.
Right.
Because
so then what do you mean by ethics, then?
Ethics is like your personal decision making processes.
It's like the opposite of what I had.
Yeah, kind of. And that's why I was like, thought it was so weird because there's like all this kind of interesting use around the ethics and morals. Amy, what do you think the difference between ethics and morals is, or have you thought about it at all?
I think I'm more on Kendrick's side where ethics is the system and then morals is your own beliefs.
Okay. So like I've already talked about that I, like, kind of think that I'm my own moral authority, which causes a lot of problems for certain people who don't believe that's possible and that can just let you justify anything you
so
do.
So the terminology I would use to describe that is that you are your own moral authority. Mm-hmm. You have your own set of morals, but you also have defined your own ethical system.
Okay. And that's different than moral relativism, or it is that?
It is moral relativism.
Okay. So what system do you use, Aaron? Kendrick.
My name is Kendrick.
Kendrick, what system do you use?
Well, it's tricky because growing up in the United States, we were all like de facto Judeo-Christian ethics, like as a system, it's really hard to get away from that unless you grew up in a very unusual place. So it's heavily influenced by Judeo-Christian, though I was not raised in a Judeo-Christian tradition.
But the laws and the things that are right laws, and wrong are well, very close to that.
I don't really respect the legal system as much as my own personal moral system.
Yeah, so like this is the kind of thing that you'll hear me say sometimes where like I'll be like, I've done anything wrong if I haven't gotten caught breaking a law. Like right, that's kind yeah. of like my mentality is like if you're speeding and you don't get caught, the only thing that didn't get you in trouble was like the fact that a outside of your own system moral authority didn't catch you doing a thing that they don't want you to do that you didn't view as wrong.
Now I would say that I like to think that I follow the master morality, which is a specific term.
It's a like white power thing.
Yeah, used by Nietzsche because he talks about the Übermensch morality, mm-hmm. which is an ethical system and an ontological system and it's everything. It's the Uber. He talks about it as the Übermensch makes good decisions because that's what the Übermensch does. Like, he does right because he couldn't do anything else, because that's what the fucking Übermensch is all about. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't do wrong, because otherwise he wouldn't be the Übermensch kind of thing. So it's like a tautological system.
Does noting it, that you're following an Übermensch system make you one, or make you not one?
No, no one's ever been an Übermensch. That's the trick people always miss out of Nietzsche. Mm. At no point in the history of mankind have we ever
But you would try for it.
Yeah, the whole point of the Übermensch is that it's the next stage of humanity. Mm. That's his whole point, is that...
It has, like, claws and arms and stuff. It's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, it's got armor. Right. Amy,
what would you define your moral system as? Do you kind of have, like, an outside moral authority that you kind of look at? Or do you have, like, your own system? Is it something that you were, like, bred into? Is it something you define yourself? Like, what? Talk to us.
I'd say it's a mix of governmental laws that I grew up knowing and then what feels okay to me personally. But I don't have, like, a system. You guys have names for everything.
It's only because we've thought about it way too much.
Too much philosophy courses.
Yeah, I haven't had any of that philosophy background, so I couldn't point to something and be like, that's what I follow. Or, like, what I associate with most closely.
Do you do things because you are afraid of getting arrested and going to jail, or do you do things because you think they're right?
Do you do things for fear of divine punishment?
In divine being God or any kind government of, or
well no not government specifically divine oh, and outside yeah, okay. humanity be it karma the universe God or anything
you can be think government is a
no
external entity
it's different
you're crazy
that's different that's
if you're
different,
crazy
that's a different subset of things though
I don't think I've ever thought to myself oh I shouldn't do this I might be judged divinely or karma might get me. The
universe is going to kick my ass for this?
Yeah.
So you never said that? You never said, like, or I guess...
I said it after the fact, where I'm like, fuck you, universe, but...
Or, like, god damn, that karma's going to bite me in the ass, or...
I've never changed my behavior, because I thought that something was going to come back.
Because the reason I mentioned that is because fear of government reprisal is a very much a real, practical one. Like...
I mean,
I'm genuinely...
Practical is, like... relative well, there. If you're
no, actually no,
believe
I mean,
God is real, then
right.
it's a huge
But what
deal.
I mean is that I don't have to believe in the morality of the state to be concerned about the state busting my balls.
Yeah, because you could,
I
like, totally disagree with them, but you still need to, like...
And I can believe that they are immoral, but they still have jackbooted thugs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, when it comes to God, you have to believe that there's a morality that he follows and that someone knows that morality and that you understand that morality and that you can follow it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of articles of faith about that, which is not necessarily bad. That is it's a different motivator for behavior than if I do this, a guy with a gun is going to put me in a box.
That's an interesting point, I think, because the fact that you said you can exist in a system of laws, or what did you say? Give it any kind of specific
just,
name.
Just the government.
Governing system. You can exist in a governing system where you disagree morally with their foundations.
Absolutely.
Of like how they do stuff. And that is an interesting point because right now we are in a spot where we generally tend to agree with a lot of like the moral foundations of like the basic tenets of our law system. You shouldn't steal from people. You probably shouldn't kill anyone else.
Respect property rights and personal...
Yeah. Like, I think the other one's like, don't like... rape people or touch people or like don't do things to people that like kind of like Golden Rule-esque, but not as, like, you know, philosophically oriented as the Golden Rule. But other systems that you live in, so that makes it hard to tell, like, what's right and wrong.
Well, then you have other
from a community.
You have other kinds of things. What's like, I don't think that I care too much about whether or not subprime lending should be considered a felony.
I was going to get more into like the subjective nature of like what it means to be like who's right morally. Like, if you disagree with your community, in this case, your governing system, that means that there's subjectivity in it, at least from a standpoint of understanding that it's okay for multiple people to be right in a certain scenario.
And that's why a lot of historic states would be theological in their justification.
That
any
way
kind of monarchy,
you cannot be wrong.
Yeah, any kind of monarchy has a religious overtone. And
that's interesting, too, because those are some systems that were okay with things that we now abhor today.
Yeah, there's all kinds of issues there, but... That's how they got around that. That's actually how they maintain a lot of consistency and minimized conflict, was when your moral authority and your state government authority are in alignment, there's no conflict.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they then now can steamroller people,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll eventually get dissent because you never do get perfect unity like that. But nowadays, because the government is built off of a highly secular mindset with religious motivations as a, like an undertone, you have conflict in the state, like in the government, you have conflict amongst the people, and you have conflict between the government and the people, because no one agrees on what's right and what's wrong. Like, who's moral, which side of the abortion debate is moral? Which side of the gun control debate is moral?
I'm not going to say anything's trivial, but even things that are seemingly less impactful than life or death, like who can get married?
Yeah. Who's moral in that? Like, everyone believes their side to be moral. And so do you just add up your morality tokens until you can see who wins?
So, you know, this is Sitsock, and we're advocating that you should start using a moral currency.
I'm just saying.
I didn't want to end it on the fact that if every time you think something's right or wrong, don't just do it because you think it's right or wrong. Like, think about it.
It's worth considering.
Think about it every 5 months. If you're like, every day I go to the store and buy a fish and then crush it under my boot. Is that really something that, like, is right or wrong? I know you probably don't want to think about it, but it doesn't, like, mean you shouldn't.
Yeah, there's always worth revising your opinions based off of new information.
Yeah.
And it's always worth recognizing that almost everything you believe is an opinion based off of some things. And if you've never really articulated what those things are, if it was prejudice, if it was hope, if it was facts, if it was something someone said once that you never looked up, what was the thing I was looking at just yesterday or Sunday? I found out, I didn't realize this, champagne is not a different kind of grape. I thought champagne grapes were a special grape.
Is it just a region in France?
I thought fizzy wines were made from a smaller, sweeter grape than other wines.
And you didn't know it?
No, but you know what they're actually made out of?
Uh-uh.
It's actually made out of a combination of one of the white wines and Pinot Noir. It's made out of black grapes.
Wow.
It's made out of the darker grapes, but they skin them so you don't get the red colors.
Huh.
So champagne is actually made out of a red wine.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was like, I did not know that.
No wonder it's like kind of drier.
It can be. A little drier, but and then they add sugar and stuff afterwards. There's a whole process to this. I was like, man, I had this whole thing that was wrong, and I realized I don't know where I got that from.
Don't let people shame you out of using Wikipedia and things like that, because I'm sure you learned a lot of that off of.
Yeah, it was a Wikipedia. So. Yeah, and I'm just my whole thing was I knew it for a fact and didn't even bother to look it up. I was like, oh shit, I was wrong. Now I know. So, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Amy, any final thoughts?
Red wine, everyone.
Okay. Fair enough.
Red wine. Like, comment, subscribe, buy us a sandwich.
Don't buy haunted IKEA cabinets.
Pull furniture over onto your children, regardless of the moral implications.
Yeah, even if you're okay getting $1 million per child head, don't kill your own children.
Suck up.